Raised Rowdy.
Welcome to the Raised Rowdy Podcast. I'm Nicky T.
I'm Kurt Ozon.
And we have our guest, Mr. Nathan Wilson. How you doing, brother?
Great, man. How are you?
Great.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, dude, thank you. I remember I told Kurt, like, when you were like, hey, I want to be on the podcast. And I was like, mine or Matt's? And you were like, yours. I'm like, sick.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Yeah, screw Matt.
Yeah. No, we love Matt, too. We could have made him sit here.
I'm upset he didn't stay.
Yeah, he just did another podcast. We got him, like, stacked up. I'm trying to get him all squared away while Kurt's here.
Yes, before I go overseas. We're going to Australia and New Zealand.
Damn. Wait, you're going with Luke, right?
Yeah.
I think, were you telling me about that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's always like, I was trying to get this scheduled before, you know.
Yeah, we're squeezing him in.
Yeah.
So sick.
That way he's on most of them. I'm going to do some while he's away, but I think we should do one like when you're like either almost done or halfway through over there, just a virtual.
It's like me with like a koala.
Yeah.
It's just a little checkup.
Koala as the guest would be the best guest ever. Yeah.
Just be eating like eucalyptus.
Aren't those things like kind of vicious a little bit though?
No, but they sometimes have chlamydia, which is not the best, which is actually true.
Yeah.
Don't want that.
No,
kangaroos are kind of mean though.
Dude, I wouldn't mess with a kangaroo for nothing.
They look like they could beat someone up for sure. I mean, I've seen videos of it.
They've got spring legs.
What is that? Angry Jack? Or what's his name?
Oh, I don't know.
You know what I'm talking about? Jack the kangaroo, whatever?
That's just like the big jacked up
one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was like viral on the internet for a while.
Yeah.
I forget his name, though. That might be right.
Kangaroo Jack. Kangaroo Jack. I think that's what it is.
Yeah. Well, thanks for jumping on, man. It was great to see you play on Tuesday, too. It's always a good time when we get to have you.
Fun time.
Dude, that was a great round, too.
I know. There's a lot of people. That's cool.
And Nicole's good great, crowd. Too.
Dude, they're so cool.
Just a very good talent on stage.
Colin's really good.
Absolutely.
I can't believe that was his first one.
I know. Nuts. My first time hearing him. You could tell he was like a little like nervous.
Yeah,
you know?
He killed it, though.
But he's great. It's cool seeing stuff like that, too. Like watching...
Stuff like what? I wasn't there. What's going
on? Well, just people that are kind of nervous, even though they're really good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, it's one of those things where it's just new experiences for people.
Yeah.
Like, we've had Baker Blankenship on the pod.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, it was just, like, so cool having him just giggly and what?
You know? Right? Yeah. That was a fun pod. Yeah. Because he was like 20 or something.
Yeah, he's still a baby.
Yeah. Just, but, like, so young. And he's like... Ain't no way. I'm like, hey, let's FaceTime Colby Acuff. He's like, ain't no way. He's so fucking country. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's so just cool. Neat, like, getting to be some of those first experiences for a while.
Dude, I think Colin's opening up for him, right? Baker.
Yeah, they're buddies.
Yeah.
I know
buddies. Sick.
Yeah. I think that's how, like, people found out about him was, like, he was buddies with Baker, I think.
Nice.
But it's crazy. And, I mean, you're not that old. How old are you now?
I just turned 23.
Yeah.
Back in September.
Yeah. So you're still
young
pretty
blood.
Young.
Yeah. I'm still super baby.
Young.
Yeah. How long have you been in Nash?
I moved here February 2022, so cool. It'll be 3 years.
I was going to say, I knew this because I just read your EPK.
Great.
22.
Hopefully it's up there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy. Time goes fast, too, right?
Dude, I cannot believe I'm saying it. I'm almost here for 3 years.
It's nuts.
That's the craziest thing.
Bro. Just when I moved to town and everyone's like, oh, you're like the new kid in town and blah, blah, blah. And then like I blink and it's been like I moved here in 2012. So it's like this August would be 13 years.
Solid
12 and a half years, bro.
It's wild.
It just don't blink. It's crazy. Yeah.
I feel
that's
like
so nuts.
We started Rowdy on the Row like 6 months ago. We just had a 4 year anniversary show. It's nuts.
Oh, man. I'm thinking about even just this podcast. I'm like. It seems like just the other day we had like Lainey Wilson like at my house in my spare bedroom.
Yeah.
I mean, because we used to cut the podcast in my spare bedroom, you know? Mm-hmm. And then we moved to Nick's house and now we're here. So it's like, just crazy how time flies. It
goes fast.
Yeah, especially when you're young too. Just moving to town. Dude. Awesome, dude. And you got a lot going for you already. As 23 year old dude, I was working in restaurants and picking my nose. I didn't have a pub deal, that's for sure.
Yeah. How fast did you get that? When did you officially sign your pub deal?
I was already writing at Round Till, like 11 months after I moved here.
Yeah.
And then after like
hell yeah.
I signed and everything, I think I ended up being like 13 months.
It's crazy. Yeah.
It was pretty cool.
It's a great team over there too.
Dude, they're the best. They really are. It's a fun place to write, too. They updated all the walls and put new, like, paneling and all new lights and pretty stuff in the room now. It's
cool.
It's a vibe.
How'd you end up at Round Hill?
Honestly, I was going to say that was my first meeting. That was my second one, but I basically knew then. Right there, I put a song out called "Better Than You." That was that was like my first song that ever really did anything, and my third song ever, and put that out, and that gave me a lot of traction, which led up to my next single, "Meant for You," and that's when Lindsay Will just she heard the song. I think it was sent to her by like my lawyer at the time, and she's like, "I want a meeting with this kid like tomorrow." So I was in a meeting room with her at Round Till like a week later, and it was basically just like, "We want you." It was really simple as that. Like there was no fighting or trying to get some more or less. It was easy.
That's great.
Yeah.
I was looking at the numbers, the streaming numbers of these songs you put out, and it was like 300,000 streams in the first week or some crazy number.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. For Better Than You, that was pretty cool. That was nuts. And that was all organic. I didn't get a single DSP, not a single editorial playlist, nothing. That was just, it massively took off on TikTok, and I don't know. I'm so thankful for it. I don't think I'd be sitting right here, honestly.
It's crazy.
It's a banger, man. Yeah. Thanks, you know, man. So that's kind of, that always helps.
Yep. And then, good, of course, music helps, for sure.
Yeah. You know, and you rolling out different, whatever the kids do on TikTok these days, you know?
Dude, it works.
Yeah. What's your strategy on there?
I'd love to hear about that. Yeah.
So I shouldn't do this, but whenever I'm not promoting a song, I kind of take it kind of easy and like let off of it. I should keep going though, but when I do have a song coming out, I probably start like 6 weeks out and just posting once a day or twice a day. One photo reel, you know, where you can swipe, and if not that, definitely just a video. But I don't know, that's really it. I think more than anything, it's like responding to the comments, like that. That's insane. And every person that's duetting the sound and stuff, like, hey man, thanks for using my video. Mm-hmm. Thanks so much. And throw a fuck. I don't know if I'm allowed to cuss.
You can cuss. I can't, but you can.
Throw a just like that cowboy emoji, smiling. Mm-hmm. I don't know, just like good energy. Like, I think that means more than anything. Like real, like fan connection,
interaction.
You know? Yeah, interaction. Yeah.
Yep.
It's hard to get that time to be able to just sit down and like, I don't want to use the term grind socials because you're like talking to your fans, but it's like sitting down and like having to respond to everyone takes time.
Dude, it totally does. And then, like, I'll get, like, on a roll or something, and I don't know. It takes me a second to even, like, do it, because I know once I start it, I'm going to be there for a while. Yeah. And then it says, you've commented too many times. And then it puts you, like, on TikTok ban for, like, an hour or something and just ruins the whole thing.
Well, it's probably good for your mental state to get off TikTok for an hour or so anyway, right?
Yeah, it gets crazy. I definitely get caught, like, in the abyss where I'm just like scrolling.
It's so easy.
You know? Yeah.
Doom scrolling, man. Well, that's what they want. So they can sell you advertising.
Goes you there.
Goes to music, to drones in New York, to monkeys. Goes, I don't know.
Yeah.
Any fires.
It's cool that you spend so much time like getting to interact with your fans. That's the good part of it. You know, thanking people for sharing your music or liking it or whatever. That's cool. Yep. But it is like, it does feel like logging in to like a job almost in a weird way. I hate to even kind of say that, but like just the comment back to everyone.
Yeah. It's kind of draining. Like, I don't think it should be, but like it kind of is. It just like, I think it's like just the fact of like, oh, well, I know if I don't do this, it's not going to work. I feel like you get in your head and like, man, I got to do it. You know, if you put in the time, it's going to work out.
I think the idea is, and tell me if I'm wrong, but it's like if someone is a fan of someone, and they comment on like, you know, like your post and you reply, that's going to make them want to reply more.
Yeah.
And so then the next time you post, you're getting more comments. And so it kind of just feeds it that
100%.
Way.
100%.
Yeah. Like if I knew that I can comment on Metallica's post and James Hetfield would be like, hey, Kurt, what's up? You know, I would do it all the time. You know, I'd be like, hey, dude, how are you? You know, like, so that's, I guess that's how that works.
Yeah.
I totally agree.
It's the way to make that online experience as organic as possible, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know? And man, it makes my brain think like I probably should be commenting on more of our comments on the Raised Rowdy account too.
I feel like it's just like, you know, it really shows just like appreciation. Yeah, I don't know. Like you're totally right. Like if somebody comments and you comment back, it's gonna make them want to comment the next time. Like it's just like simple as that.
Yeah,
100%.
Well, and it's like they are taking time out of their day not just to view your video, but to actually interact with it. You know,
can't take advantage of it.
No. Yeah.
I mess up sometimes. I don't comment and everything. I can tell it does make a difference.
Yeah. You didn't respond to my comment today.
Oh, my God. Really?
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I was like, what? Dude, today's been the longest day already.
Well, I hope this next hour or so can be relaxing for you.
Yeah okay. Perfect.
Mm-hmm. Podcasts are chill. You done some podcasts before?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're easy.
Yeah, they're fun. Just be yourself.
Yeah.
That's really it.
Just get to talk about nonsense. Well, why don't you talk a little bit about like your story growing up and like when you really got into music?
Yeah. let's see. I have really bad ADHD. Mm-hmm. And my mom took me to the doctor's office one day when I was like 6 or 7, and she was like, "Well, can you tell me what's wrong with him or whatever?" Like, all right. Doctor comes back and is like, "Yeah, he's messed up." And she's like, "What do you mean?" And I don't know. He was like, yeah, he's got ADHD. You know, I recommend this pill or this medicine, whatever. And my mom was like, no, I'm not going to do that. So that Christmas, I ended up getting a drum set. And that's kind of like what started the whole thing. So it went from banging on drums, literally every single night to, I don't know. I guess it kind of got me more in trouble in school, honestly, because I was always sitting there tapping.
I was I was a drum beat tap kid. Dude,
especially when pen tapping came out.
Pen tapping.
Oh, my gosh, yeah, so much trouble. But
give us a little pen tap. You still got it? Have we got any pens in here?
I don't have a pen, but
yeah. Well, that was good.
Close enough. I see a Sharpie over there. That's fine.
Yeah.
Something
like
that.
He still got it.
Yeah. Okay. A little something in there, but yeah, she got me a drum set, and from there it went to playing like youth praise band and stuff growing mm-hmm. up and at our church. And once I'd say probably like when I was like 10 or 11, I was playing like the real praise band in the church. And, you know, it's kind of like, it's kind of like a big production mm-hmm. a little bit. So that was kind of cool. And that was like my first like pressured moment, I feel like, growing up, like sitting in the back of the church, like nobody's really looking at you, but you feel like every single person's looking at you playing the drums. Like, I don't know. That was kind of like a step forward for me. And
I'm always staring at the band while I'm in church too.
It's pretty, they're fun to watch.
Yeah.
But after that, it was just, I got a guitar when I was 11 for my 11th birthday, and I didn't know how to play it, picked it up. Played it for like a week and put it right back down. I was like, I can't do this. Because I was starting to sing, so, you know, I needed something to sing with, but I went back to the drums, got way better at drums. For my 12th birthday or 12th Christmas, whatever, I got a piano, and I loved playing that. I was playing that nonstop every night, posting every single night on Instagram, getting made fun of, walking into the school, you know, whatever.
Posting on People Instagram laughing. At 12 years old?
Dude, I know. It was intense.
What?
It was intense. Yeah. I was really out there, yeah. But did that, and I loved that, and I got my fingers cut off right here on my right hand. They call me Nubs.
Walk up
the stairs, go down the slide. Got those cut off, and then I couldn't really press the keys anymore. So by that time, I was kind of singing a lot and everything, and I'll explain this later if you want me to. But it's kind of just a drop the mic. Yeah. But what was I saying?
Then you picked the guitar up.
Yeah, I picked the guitar up. And I start singing again. I really taught myself just like on YouTube. There's like this one dude. He was like a praise pastor. He was like 4 chord. His account name was like 4 chord or something like that. And learned C, G, E minor, D. And I don't know. I'd say I wrote my first shitty song at like 12 or 13. And I just kind of went from there and haven't really played the piano since. I'm starting to get back into it though. Trying to figure it out. But yeah, playing guitar, and didn't really play a lot in high school. I was still posting on high school and everything, and never like formed a band in high school or none of that stuff. I was just like the athlete that could weirdly do like music, I guess. But once I got to college, I started like really playing guitar and really writing and all that stuff. I had like my college roommates and everything, and they're like, "Bro, we're not gonna make fun of you. Like, we love you, bro. Like, you're so cool. And all this. And so that was like the first time someone was like, "All right, well, it's a nice feeling, you know. Somebody's like actually appreciating like what I'm writing and mm-hmm. everything." And that kind of gave me the courage to want to do it more. And from there, I kind of started like a hometown band and eventually played like the hometown bars and all that. And quit going to school at Louisville, like a semester in. Went to transfer to like Well, this is like when COVID happened and everything. So I went to like back to my hometown and went to a technical college and then quit going to school there after that semester and then went to Rutgers University and got a degree in golf.
Wait, Rutgers in New Jersey?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That's out of left.
Yeah,
field.
A little different, right?
Yeah.
So got a degree in golf. Really, it's turf management, but I don't know. Kind of nobody knows what that is, I guess.
I definitely
is
don't.
Is that like yeah. facilities of golf? Is it's, that kind of what the degree is in?
It's like everything that has to do with outside of the pro shop. So okay. All the grass, moisture meters, moisture levels, irrigation.
That's crazy.
All that stuff. Did that for 2 years. Was up in Chicago at a course called Butler National. And every single day, you know, I was just cutting cups. So I had like 2.5-3 hours just to listen to music every single morning. Mm-hmm. And that's when I started listening to – that's like – when I really started, I was listening to music and I was listening to Bobby Cast, mm-hmm. his podcast, and I was just listening to every person's story. And every person was just like, man, just one day I woke up and I was like, I ain't getting any younger. That's what every person was saying. It was like, and it happened. I moved to Nashville and I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for that. So I was listening to all that and that just was in the back of my head the only time. I was like, I don't want to be on a golf course. Like, I grateful for the opportunity, love my job, but like, I know where my heart's really at, you know?
Yeah.
So, moved back home. I was up in Chicago for like a year and took a head assistant superintendent position at a golf course in Indiana, like 30 minutes away from my house in Kentucky. And spent 6 months there over the winter time, finished up my college degree through Rutgers and woke up and was like, I'm moving to Nashville. And my parents were so upset at me. I'd planned to... that jacket just fell and it looked like a cat over there. I was like, oh my gosh, this scared the shit out of me. I'd like turned down this massive job offer in Texas and I was going to be with my other side of my family in Texas and it was just all going to work out and I ended up saying no to them and my parents were kind of pissed at me and I moved to Nashville with like $700. Spent it all the first like day I got there on rent and started working at the Blue Beacon Truck Wash for like 2 weeks to get enough money to pay for like a microphone to go play on Broadway. And then I figured out I didn't need to have like a microphone and all that shit on Broadway because it was already supplied for me. And did that. At least I had my like microphone set up and worked at a golf course in Nashville, Old Hick. Mm-hmm. I was there for a little while. And after that, I put out Better Than You, played on Broadway for like a year straight and once I signed my pub deal, it was just writing every day.
Yeah. Sick.
Yeah. Sorry, that was kind of long.
No, dude.
Kind of rambling, ADHD, saw a cat.
No, you're fine, everything. Dude. I mean, that's why we're here. That's, like, super interesting.
Yeah. That's what this is about, man. It's the story.
A lot to it, but, man, it's working.
Yeah. In terms of, like, shows, have you been doing any, like, out-of-town shows? Do you still have, like, a band fully together?
Yeah, I still got my band I put together on Broadway.
Yeah.
They're awesome. My last show was in New Jersey with Dylan Scott. Mm-hmm. That was like my first theater show too, so that was crazy. I think there's like 2,500, 3,000 people there, and it's just that's the biggest crowd I ever played for. And I put my song out, Mrs. Lonely, the day beforehand, and there's already people singing that song like in the crowd. So like that was a cool moment for me. It just looked like bobbleheads everywhere. You know, just so many people. It's crazy. But that was my last show, and I signed with WME like a week prior to that. So this year, hopefully we get some good ones.
Get rolling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Yeah, that's sick, man.
Actually, we got a show meeting today at Neighbors.
Nice.
Neighbors in the Gulch.
Yeah. I love Neighbors.
It's a good wings.
Oh, yeah. Really I just moved wings. Over to Germantown, so there's nice. One over there, too.
Not far.
But the Gulch one's great.
There's a Neighbors in Gulch?
Oh, yeah.
Dang. It's kind of new, like a year old.
Oh, okay.
I guess.
I don't go to the Gulch very much.
It's cool. It's a good spot.
Okay. Well, dude, congrats on everything.
I Thanks, mean, bro.
It seems like it's just been like... Phoom.
It is going up, man. Slow but surely. It's definitely working. Yeah, I just feel like you got to keep doing it. You know, they call it 10-year town for a reason.
Yep.
3 years in, you got to keep grinding.
Yeah. And it's funny because people, you know, it's like it seems like that you just showed up to town and then you've got, you know, 10 million plus streams and all this badass stuff. But it's like it really started when you were... you know, 6 years old playing drums in church or, you know, or 10 years old or whatever.
It's the weirdest thing to think about. Like if my mom would have put me on a pill, like, I don't know what would happen, you know?
Yeah.
It's so crazy.
My mom same thing. I went in. They said I had ADD, and they tried to put me on, like, so back in the day, it was Ritalin was, like, the drug that everyone.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, it's because they don't really prescribe it anymore. It's pretty bad. Yeah. So they tried to put me on that, and my mom was like, no. So same kind of thing.
Yeah.
And honestly, I feel like I learned coping mechanisms from not being on it.
For sure.
Right?
Like, 100%.
I didn't learn like everyone else learned, but I figured out how I learned.
You have to.
You know?
You 100% have to.
So it's like everybody's different. And it's funny too. Like they say everyone's ADHD now. It's wild. And I'm like, well, that means that we're changing as people.
No, I think we are, honestly.
This might be new normal.
It really could be.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, I want to ask you, this is really interesting to me. You said you found new ways to learn things. Can you give like examples of stuff? I find that super cool.
Yeah. So like everyone else studying would just like read stuff and comprehend it. I had to like make flashcards that had a visual next to whatever I was trying to learn so that I could tie those two things together in my brain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So like I would make like, and sometimes it was nonsense. I would just like draw a nonsense item.
Like a doodle or something.
Yeah.
Just so like just sticks in your head?
Yeah. Because that would stick in my head, but if I got that to stick in my head, then I could see the thing that was beside it.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, totally.
It was repetition in that.
Was that kind of your experience too, or?
I had a comprehension problem. Like, because I was just hearing every single thing in the class, every person going, or like coughing or something. Like, mine was comprehension. Like, I understood the question. I probably knew the answer, but it took me 7 times to read it, you know, to like really understand. Like, I don't know. That was kind of my problem, honestly.
And my thing too was like reading. So, like, if I'm reading a book, if I try to read the book from front to back, I won't know any of it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like, I will know none of that book. Like, I would know a couple general ideas that came out of it. But if I would read 10 to 15 pages, and then stop and like go do something else and come back to it, I could comprehend it. And I had to figure that out.
Dude, what was it, Bird? We have, or that movie we always said, or shit, book. It was like in The Mockingbird. Or what, did you have to read that in high school or whatever?
Mm-mm.
Oh. That was the last book.
To Kill a Mockingbird?
Yeah.
Oh,
yes. Okay, then.
That was the last book I read besides like Berenstain Bears Bears or whatever that's called in kindergarten.
Yeah.
I don't like to read.
Well, as you get older, it gets a little easier.
I think I could enjoy it as I get older, but I feel like I got too much shit to do to sit down and look at a book.
Yeah. I felt like that when I was your age.
Unless somebody like gives me a book, it's like, here, I think this would be really good for you. Like, you should read. Yeah. Then I'm like, okay, I'll be interested.
The stuff that I read now, and dude, I'm in my 40s. So, like, it took a while. But the stuff I read now is kind of like almost like idea help or like self help kind of stuff. Where it like makes my brain explore ideas, and that gives me enough that I can read through books.
That's cool.
But like I love like stupid sci-fi, and I love like Marvel movies. If you gave me a book about that shit, I could not read it. Right? I would much rather watch it on TV than that. But if it's something where it's like more brain exploratory for me as opposed to just like a story, then I can read it now. But it took me longer in life to get there.
Like that book Atomic Habits or something?
Yeah, exactly.
I have to recommend this book. I talk about it all the time. It's called Stolen Focus. It's about like the erosion of society's attention spans and like what is causing it and whose fault it is. And more often than not, it's not your fault. So I know it's like sometimes, like when Luke would put a new record out, it's like I have to learn this entire record, all these songs, and memorize them so I'm not like reading music at a stadium show.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, I'm practicing, and then I'm like, okay, let me change the tempo of my metronome on my phone. And then I'm picking my phone. Next thing I know, I'm like on Instagram or something. I was always like beat myself up. I'm like, you have the best job in the world, and you can't just spend a few days just grinding through and learning and practicing. You have to look at this stupid-ass app, you know? But then I read this book, and it kind of explains why that happens. And there's a lot of really smart people trying to get you to not pay attention to stuff and look at ads on your phone. So I just want to let people know to check that book out. I think it's great.
The other thing, too, is, like, books on tape are every book now.
Yeah.
So, like, especially if you're on, like, long road trips and shit. I love music, so I listen to music extensively.
Right.
But it is nice that if you're on, like, an 8-hour road trip to break that up with something else. And, like, I know Kurt, like, oftentimes will, like, listen to podcasts and stuff, too. But I find myself, that's when I'll like listen to a book on tape kind of vibe.
Yeah.
The thing with me and that is I have to kind of listen to that book on tape three times because my brain explores other things while I'm like listening.
Yeah.
So I will comprehend some of it when I'm listening to it. But I have to, if I'm trying to get the entire idea of the book, I can't just listen to it once. That makes sense. It's interesting. But, man, I mean, when I was a kid, that's when they first started talking about ADD, right? Before that, they just said you were weird.
Yeah.
You know?
He's messed up. He's fine.
Yeah. Like, everyone's different.
He'll come along.
Yeah. When it's everyone's different, you know?
Right.
So it's like, dude, if they told Einstein that he was weird and put him on a pill... Yeah, you know what I mean?
Where would we be?
Yeah, where would we be? Like, we would have different things.
That's
like,
wild to think
all
about.
Of the people that were the weirdest were also some of the people that were the smartest. Most brilliant. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. 100%. You know?
If your brain works exactly like someone else already had that idea, probably.
Yeah. You
know? So it's like,
I feel like if I start reading books, it'd help my writing out a lot. I feel like.
Yeah.
Words for sure. So I used to play, like, I have this Magic the Gathering tattoo.
It's pretty baller.
Yeah. Well, it's like, literally Fireball. Yeah. Yeah. It's a game, but I would see the words playing that game and I'd be like, what is that? And I would look them up. Right. Some of them are like made up words.
Right.
But some of them are not. And even in the descriptions. So, like, my vocabulary increased from playing this game that were 7 minutes at a time, you know? That's why, like, Kurt played Dungeons & Dragons. I couldn't get into that because it's like you're playing all day.
My friend, actually, he's my neighbor at my apartment, plays Dungeons & Dragons. So anytime he says he's doing that, I know he ain't going to be up to, like, 2 or 3 a.m.
Yeah, it's wild.
It takes a while.
They're doing all day. You can play for...
It's time travel, bro, because it's so fun. You're like, all right, it's noon, let's start. And then you blink, and you're like, oh, it's midnight.
Dude, yeah. I told my play, but, like, I don't know if I have just a whole day just to be like, sure, I'll smoke weed, drink beer, and play Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, and eat snacks, dude. Of course,
of course, snacks.
Yeah, I got a pizza.
What kind of snacks?
Last time we played, Whitney brought over cookies, and we had like chips and guac and stuff.
What kind of chips?
Corn tortilla chips.
Corn tortilla.
Yeah. And we just like it's just you sit and like just drink beer, and it's just like. Watching a movie with your friends, but you decide what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, the movie's in
That's
your
brain. Cool. Yeah. I don't know. It's hard to explain, but it's awesome.
Have you played, like, Catan or Catan or whatever it's called? That's fun game.
Oh, yeah, it's fun.
It's a fun game.
Last time I played, not to talk about board games too much, but I do like board games. I played this game. There's, like, these... You ever seen that meme where it's, like, an iceberg, and it's, like, the deeper into a hobby you go, the weirder it gets? So, like, when you think of board games, you think Monopoly. And then I feel like... Catan is like the next level, you know. It's like, oh, this is like Monopoly, but the gameplay flows better, and you don't just like get kicked out early. Well, then there's like I was playing this game Pandemic last night, which is like pretty fun. And instead of playing against each other, you all play together to try to like eradicate disease. So it's pretty fun. Yeah, I played with Colby and Whitney last night.
Team games.
Yeah, I like board games a lot. I think it's cool. It's, you know, everything we do is so digital now. It's kind of fun to have some stuff that's just
100%.
Play cards or, you know, D&D or whatever.
100%.
Yeah, and well, I mean, I think the key of it is interactions with people.
100%.
You
know?
Yeah.
However you do that, whether it's like you and buddies going and watching a sports game or...
Something.
Like Kurt and I are cigar guys, so we go smoke cigars and chat, you know?
That's nice.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Or nice. Like, it's like fantasy football leagues.
Yeah.
You know, it's
that's
like...
fun.
Get in there and make fun of your buddies.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's just whatever you do to get away from the regular for a little bit.
Yeah, when I get home from my write, I don't even want to think about... I have like five... That's like kind of my New Year's resolution. Like respond to people immediately because I know I'm not going to do it. Like I have like 500 missed texts. And like that's so bad, like 15,000 missed emails. But it's like when I get home from my write, I don't want to do anything. I don't want to even think about looking at my phone. Because I'm just sitting there the whole entire day. Looking at the same words the whole entire time for, you know, 2 to 7 hours.
You need to decompress for sure, you know. And
I'm a Fortnite, and then I'm chilling.
Yeah, I play Fortnite, too.
Yeah,
put them in the group chat.
Yeah. You're in the club. My handle, Raised Rowdy.
Yeah.
I'm there.
Mine is Kurt Ozon 251.
Mine's Lugnuts _ 0804.
Yeah,
Lugnuts.
It's funny. I play that, I mean, more than I've played any video game in 5 years.
I don't think I've played... probably from like senior year to now, I would say senior year of high school to now. But now it's just enjoyable now. But yeah. At least the no build. I played no build.
That's what you
did.
Too.
Yeah,
yeah.
But you don't play because the game's fun. You play because your friends play.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I play with Bonner and Maxwell and, like, that's kind of like, I know Dalton Dover, but, like, that's how I, like, really got to know Dalton was, like, playing on there.
Yeah.
You know?
And so we had him on the podcast, and then he's like, let me get your number. And then so we exchanged numbers, and then I realized that I had been in a group chat with him for months, and I hadn't even realized it.
Yeah.
We got the same producer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
McVaney.
Dude, yeah.
Oh, music. I forgot about music.
Yeah. Well, what music, Dalton's speaking so good. Of that, do you have anything in the tank that you guys are working on or nothing you can announce yet? Or
yeah, we got some cool ones. We actually just wrote one yesterday called Whiskey See, Whiskey Do.
Oh, yeah.
We wrote that with Cannon Smith and Matt McVaney.
I love Cannon. That's my guy.
Dude, he's the best, right?
Yeah, dude.
He's funny.
Yeah, and like being in the writing room with him, it's like hard to keep up. Like he's just
moving.
Spit stuff out. It's so
like,
fast.
Like, all right. Did you type that down?
Yeah.
Literally.
I know. Whenever I'm in the room with him, like I'm just like the typist because he's just like writing cool shit so fast.
So cool. Great he's guy, dope. Too. Yeah. We had him on the pod before.
Dude, that's sick.
We had him on the podcast, and he had brought this like beer thing. It's like it turns your canned beer into draft beer. And we had this huge beer.
That's pretty cool.
And so we were pouring these beers and drinking beers. We talked about it for like 30 minutes beginning of the podcast. And then it turns out by the time the podcast came out, that thing had gone out of business.
Like, the company.
Yeah.
It was funny. Awful. Yeah. We basically did like a free ad for him for a half hour.
Yeah. For a company that doesn't exist. Like, that's great content.
It was cool though. Mm-hmm. It kind of just like aerated the beer a little bit and made it taste like draft beer.
Yeah.
You know? Interesting.
Well, let's not talk about it for 30 minutes this time though.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, sorry to, I just, maybe I have ADD now. Maybe it's contagious. I got it from you.
Yeah, it definitely could be.
So you got some music coming out that we can kind of talk about and point people towards or what?
I actually haven't picked my next single yet for this year, but kind of just worked on like a new artist development deal with Matt McVaney, my producer. So gonna be able to put out a lot of songs this year.
Cool.
Like that was kind of the goal of 2025. Like, you know, putting out four or five songs. I think I put out six songs, but one of them was like just acoustic. It was an acoustic Better Than You version. So really five new songs last year. And I tell you what, it helped so much. But like, I just have so many songs. I mean, you write four or five times a week, you know, you just got so many songs. And I won't leave a room until, I'd rather leave a room with nothing than a song that I just is like, meh. You know, like every day. I'd rather have nothing. So I have so many songs that like I want to put out. It's just hard and just timing and everything. So this year we're like really laying out like just a map of everything, and that way I know what's going to come like 4 months from now.
Yeah,
you know, just to really like prepare and hopefully put out an EP this year.
That's sick.
Really think about that.
Yeah,
I want to do that September-ish, August, somewhere around there.
I love EPs because like as a guy that loves exploring new music, it's kind of like a statement in time of like where that person's at,
who you
what
are,
their sound is.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Dude, you can't tell who just I am, like who I am from just like one of my songs.
Yeah,
you know, and I have so many types of songs, so many different type of like feels songs, and some that's really country, some that's really poppy, some that's got R&B, you know, like it's, you can't tell who it is until I feel like you really get enough lyrics into a whole entire EP, into a song where somebody sits down and knows who exactly you are.
Yeah.
You know, like, I feel like, I don't know, like, Megan Maroney does that really good.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know exactly who this person is. Sabrina Carpenter, you know exactly who this person is. Vincent Mason, you know exactly who he is. Like, they're all so talented. And, like, that's kind of the goal I'm really striving for the show. I want to be me. I want people to know who I am. I have this weird ass goofy personality, like I never show off just because I feel like I just need a camera on me at all times, and I think I'd be fine, but yeah this is perfect. But I need something like that, and it's kind of what I'm going for this year. Be me and give it my all.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, definitely got some good ones though. I'm excited. I have some really good ones.
Yeah, stuff that you recorded or you're working on recording?
Working on recording.
Cool. That's
awesome. There's some that it sounds like they're fully produced out, but they're just demos.
That's cool.
Thank God, dude. Demo guys, man, they got a tough job.
Oh, yeah.
Tough freaking job.
Yeah.
Well, they're helping craft the song, honestly.
Songwriter, producer.
100%.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Like, dude, if I get a song and it's like a shitty demo, and then I get a song the next day, it's like a great demo, and it's kind of like the same. I'm probably going to listen to one more that's, you know, put more work into it. Mm-hmm. You know, like,
I have heard like iPhone work tapes that are like just magic though.
Yeah, it's pretty
where
cool.
It's just like I mean, it's Cleto.
That's when you know it's. That's when you know it's gonna be a good song, though.
Yeah, Cleto's like they just put a song out. He had a song on like Yellowstone or something, where it was just the iPhone recording from the right. They just use that on
TV.
That's
freaking cool.
Yeah, it's
but
nuts.
That's Cleto. So
yeah, sometimes there is magic in that first thing. You know, however it comes
100%.
Out.
Usually it's like forgetting the lyrics of the bridge and you're like just kind of trying to get through it.
Yeah. That definitely happens. That definitely happens. Yeah, that was a rough day on Tuesday. Oh wait, are you talking about Tuesday?
No.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the race. No, I did that.
Tuesday.
I did that on Tuesday.
That's what writers rounds are for, honestly.
Yeah, 100%.
Trying out new songs.
Dude, that was cool. That was like That was a moment for me. That was one of my coolest moments in Nashville. It's literally like everybody always talks about like silencing a room. Mm-hmm. You know, there's probably like 100 something people in that room, and you on that song, dude, you literally could have heard a pin drop.
Pin drop.
What song was it?
It's called "Make It to the Truck," and that's exactly what you're talking about. Like all we have is a voice memo, and I wrote it. Brennan Cooney and Lydia Sutherland, and I started playing that song. Every single person in the bar was having a conversation, and felt like midway through, before I even got to the chorus, it was just nothing. And as soon as it got to the bridge, bro, my lip was quivering. I was like, oh, I got nervous because like I could hear everything that was going on. And that was like that was a moment for me. I was like, wow, this is telling me everything I need to know right here.
Yeah.
You know? But I totally fucked up the bridge.
Dude, that's sick, dude.
Thanks,
Doc. I love seeing those. So, cause, dude, sometimes if those rooms are full, they're loud.
Yeah,
but you can take it,
the dude. Right, yeah, yeah, if you, yeah, 100%. That was one of the coolest. Even though I completely botched it, somebody said, "Get to the chorus." You
know, someone said that.
Yeah, it was just fine.
Being silly.
I did spend like 15 seconds, like sitting there in my head, like, and they're like, "Get to the chorus." Like,
don't bore us,
dude. That was, and they still sat silent, man. That's when I was like, man, we really got something with this one.
This was that year round.
Yeah.
Was that a Losers or
a Duck Rock? Pond? Yeah.
Duck Pond.
Yep.
Awesome.
Yeah. That was cool,
dude. Look at you having all these cool events,
bro. It's fun,
dude.
It's,
that is a fun round.
It is.
That is a fun round.
It's a good time.
Nick's a good guy. He throws a good party down there.
Yeah. Well, that one was Matt's too. Yeah.
I gave Matt some due. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's a. Dude,
it's just a vibe.
It is.
You know, that's like what I can say about it. Like when I walk in, it's just like everybody's smiling. Everybody's like excited to be there. You know, it's not just like, oh, got around tonight. You know, it's like, no, bro, I'm going to see the boys tonight. I'm going to have a dope crowd tonight. Like, it's going
to
be fun.
Yeah, we're trying to foster a great, and you know, some nights are better than others. That's how it works, you know?
Yeah, it's part
but
of
your
it.
Your guys' round was freaking killer.
That was fun.
Packed out, industry people, fans, all of it. It was neat.
That was really cool.
What does it mean to you as an up-and-coming artist to have a place like Nick's and Matt's events to go and like practice and debut songs?
That's literally everything. It means the world because like that's the tale I'll tell. You know, like if you can just fan interaction fit like that's going to tell you the answer to everything. At least everything that I've been taught and told. You know, it means the world. It makes you feel like. You're doing it. It makes you feel like you're doing something successful, you know, and having like just great people around you all the time that are just so sweet to you and just care about you and believe in you. You know, like that, like if somebody believes in somebody, it'll change your life. And that's what I feel like when I go into the Raise Rowdy podcast. I don't know, other people feel that way too. It's not even just me just jerking y'all, like just blowing your balls. Like, no, that's totally true. 100%.
Dude, we're just happy to be a part of the community. Matt and I are both just fans.
It's so crazy. Everywhere you walk around, it just raise your rowdy. Everywhere on somebody's head.
Yeah,
so
it's
dope.
It's neat, man. It's like I didn't start Raise Rowdy till I was like 35. I was just a guy that loved music till then, you know?
That's so cool.
And then just getting to be a little part of it. It's like even just moments. Every, you know, you have moments where you see people shut the room up, you know.
Yeah.
You see moments where people are like just having the best time, you know, like
smiles, bro.
Yeah,
everybody's smiling.
The
just
whole
like
band
they're
or,
excited to be
know, the
there.
The artist playing, it's so neat, and it's been a crazy fun experience.
Yeah, but it's a lot of work, man.
It's a lot of work. It's
I like, couldn't imagine.
I don't even know how much work it is. I talk to you every day, you know, but it's like going to a writer's round. Like when you're playing and with your friends that are great, that's awesome. But it's like when you every day, you know, every week, multiple times a week, it's a lot of physical work, you know, carrying in merch and all that, but mental work too, booking and all this stuff like that. But it's like if you didn't go through and do all that, then it's like then we wouldn't have places for up and coming artists to come and play, man.
Dude. And the hardest part for me is like when people aren't there yet or aren't it for me, right? I'm not saying it's for everyone. It's like, how do I tell this person no gracefully,
right,
and not crush their dreams? Because just because I don't enjoy someone doesn't mean that they're not good,
right?
It just means it's not for
preference,
me.
Yeah,
you know, it's just it's all
it's fair
personal taste. So it's like that's the weirdest part for me is like I sometimes feel like a bad guy. You know what I mean?
You got 600,000 artists in a 5-mile radius. Like, you can't say yes to everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard. And it's like, I don't think you're a bad person, or sometimes I do. But, but like, you know, it's just, what do you do?
Yeah.
You
right. Know? The and, I mean, that's just bound to happen. You can't please everybody. And I noticed this thing, like, when I was started playing Luke's band and we were touring, everyone only said nice things about Luke. And it wasn't until he started like really fucking crushing that people were like, oh, these songs aren't country or they're too country or blah, 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 blah. You know, people started talking. So it's like, if you have no one saying bad stuff, it's like maybe you're not that big yet. You know, it's like, and the better you do, it's like you're going to run into more little things like that. But you just bring so much positivity to the music scene, dude. Like, you're such a great guy, and I love you, man. And, dude, like, isn't it so great to go play these rounds 100%. And all this?
Dude, and just
that's enough about me.
To add to that, just being whatever, honest with somebody, man. Being honest with somebody like that. Like, if I was told no, at least, like, my drive, that would make me want it even more. You know, that would make me want to write the next best song. That would make me want to get better. That would make me want to go home and learn something to impress you. You know, like, that. I think honesty is, like, it's crucial.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's just like a weird thing.
I would hate to have to be like, no, bro, you can't come.
Yeah. Or like someone that's played and I'm like, they were okay, you know? Yeah. And we have a lot of people that are really good that are asking to play or that I want to ask to play, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, that's just weird.
I get it.
And we've all been to a writer's round, like where the songs like or the singing or musicianship wasn't great.
Yeah, I've hosted them.
Yeah. But I remember like the first, you know, I moved to town and I went to a writer's round and the first person I heard sing was Carly Pierce. And I was like, holy shit, everyone in town is great. And, but no, it's just, she was great. And then I went to Commodore Grill and I was like, oh my God, this is horrible. You know? So good on you for like curating a fun hang weekly in, you know,
we try to do our best. Matt and I talk about that extensively too. Like, we talk whenever if we're not at each other's events, because you know, like I'm always there on Sunday, he's always there on Tuesday, mostly Wednesdays I'm there too, but like he hosts.
Right.
So like if there's someone they're not there, I'm like, yo, this person was sick, you know. Or like if even if we see someone out or like excited. Someone else's event, you know.
Yeah.
But it's and I usually send them to Kurt too. I'm like, listen to this Jade girl.
Yeah.
She's great.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, just like whoever it is at right. that time, it's like insane, you know? And, but it's, I was doing that from home when I was just finding music in Pittsburgh.
Right.
You know, I was just wasn't finding from it Pittsburgh? Live.
Are you a Steelers fan?
Oh, yeah, dude. Oh. Yeah. I mean,
dude, are we going to play you guys, the Texans? I'm a Texans fan. I think we're going to play you guys.
Yeah. Here's what I would say. If I came out and my dad would have thought I wasn't a Steelers fan, he would have threw me off Mount Washington.
Okay, yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah, he'd be like, this Forced. One's bad. I think it's a Cowboys fan. Let's get rid of it.
Yeah. That's funny.
But, dude, in Pittsburgh, Steelers is
everything.
Religion.
That's crazy.
It is. It's kind of how SEC football is. It's like Steelers there.
Dude.
You know, it's nuts.
I remember watching, when you guys went to Super Bowl 2009?
Was that it was 8 or 9,
something like that. That catch in the back of the end zone. I remember watching that. I couldn't even breathe afterwards.
So good.
So wild.
Yeah. We've been blessed to have, I mean, we make the playoffs almost every year, and we're like, at least a .500 record every year. It's like, wow.
Good team.
Spoiled.
Yeah, at least you can enjoy it.
Yeah, it's sick.
I think the Texans won like 3 or 4. Besides last year, I mean, thank God we got CJ Stroud, but the year before that, it was like 3 and 4 or 5 wins a year. I'm like, I don't even want to turn the TV on.
Well, dude, that's like the Browns. Like, I have a bunch of friends that are, you know, from the Cleveland area. Pittsburgh and Cleveland are close and basically the same people,
right?
You know, it's just we like different football teams, but I have buddies that are been season ticket holders through all those seasons where they weren't winning any games, you know? And I'm like,
they have to root for Deshaun Watson. I know. No way, dude.
Not for long, probably. But
yeah. he was on the Texans, and
yeah, he was a monster on the Texans.
Yeah, until he was up 26-0 at halftime against freaking KC and blew the whole entire lead.
Yeah,
that bothered
that
me.
Browns contract with him is nuts too. All guaranteed like that.
Yeah, it's a nightmare.
Terrible idea.
He's winning.
Yeah. Well, if Houston plays Pitt, you guys can go to Neighbors.
Yeah, I'm down.
I'm totally down.
I'll buy
the
first beer, and then second beer is whoever wins has to buy.
I'll bring a doobie.
Yeah. Hey, down for that for sure.
Yeah.
But, man, anything else that you have that you want to, like, talk about? Like, anything coming up or?
Coming up. Let me see. Writing some really good songs this year.
Yeah.
Good. This is my first week of writing this year.
Welcome back.
That was nice. Went skiing for like 8 days. Didn't die.
Oh, where at?
went up in Vermont at Burke Mountain.
Oh, okay.
And then we went to Killington.
Sick.
Bro, 8 days? Is that just like a... That's a lot of exercise, right?
Dude, it was. I was exhausted.
Your legs.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
Core?
Yeah, dude, I don't even think you got to be strong. You just got to be like... Your legs got to be conditioned.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Skiing's a different thing.
Brutal.
Yeah. Do you ski or snowboard?
I ski.
Ski. Yeah. I was a skier.
Yeah.
I'm not a great skier. I never was, but like I skied like growing up.
Yeah.
Probably through like seventh grade. And then once I realized that the bars had alcohol in there, I didn't ski that much.
You know? Yeah. Dude, those planes are seventh grade?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Maybe ninth. But let's not get crazy. Yeah.
Taking fireball shooters on the lift.
Bro.
Dude, that's dangerous.
I know.
That literally is dangerous.
We would go to the Foggy Goggle. We
the Foggy Seven Goggle.
Springs. Bro, what that's a fun. Great name for a
that's
bar.
That's amazing.
The Foggy Goggle. up at Seven Springs. That's like the resort that's closer to where I grew up.
Yeah.
And not a great resort. Like short trails, lots of slushy ice. You know, it's Pittsburgh. It's not like the best snow.
Yeah.
But so much fun. And I got a season pass. I got a day. I had jobs all the time where it was like weird hours. And then I got like a day job that was like consistent Monday through Friday, 9 to 5.
Yeah.
And I got a season pass. And then I would go up there with like my buddies and we would drink too much to really ski. And I was like, all right, I got to stop doing this. I got to drive back down the mountain in the snow after that.
Dude,
not a great idea.
Yeah. Skiing down the mountain messed up is.
Oh, it's a terrible idea.
Dude, it is sketchy for sure. Yeah. Fun time though. It's like an adrenaline rush you can't get from anything.
You make me want to do it now.
Yeah.
Dude, at nighttime, you can't see a single thing. You're just hammered. On a set of skis, dude.
Oh yeah.
I'm from Florida, so this is all. You guys are speaking a different language.
Water skiing.
Yeah.
Water skiing's fun.
I want to, man. I'm just like, I know I'll break my arm.
You won't.
I'll miss the tour or something.
You won't.
Just do it.
Dude, skiing is easy. Don't snowboard.
I gotta hit that pow pow.
Don't snowboard.
Yeah, snowboarding is not my favorite.
Yeah.
I just fell every time I wanted to turn.
Yeah.
I would just fall. I'm like, I don't understand why we do this on purpose.
Dude, yeah. last year's my...
I could pizza a french fry.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could do that.
I even pizza, like, they just ruin the inside of my legs now.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Dude. Are you still golfing?
Yeah, I golf a little. Yeah.
Little?
Golf, yeah. I do a little dabbling.
Yeah?
You want to... What's your handicap?
Are
you good or what?
It's probably like 8 or 9 right now.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't play, like, I wish I could play as much as I used to.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably like 8 or 9. I don't know. It depends. It depends on the course, really. So, honestly, it depends on my driver.
So, Nick knows, like, if I get into something, like, sometimes I just, like, I get hyper-focused on it. And for a while, it was golf, and I was going to the range all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And I was spending a lot of money on, you know, balls and golf and all this stuff. And so I was at, there's a it's not like a kid's course, but like a junior course, whatever, by my house. It's called Vinnie Links. And at the time, it was $7, and you could just walk 9. And there's like par threes, you know? And so I would do that all the time, and I would always hit balls. And they had a help wanted sign. And I was like, what's the help wanted sign for? And I was playing in Luke's band at this time. And they're like, well, it's the greenskeeper. And I'm like, well, what does it pay? And they're like, $8 an hour. And I was like,
screw it.
And they're like, but you get unlimited range balls. And I was like, and it was 2 hours a week to come in and like work on. I don't know anything about this.
Did you have to cut cups?
Well, I don't even know. No, I have no idea. So I walked in and I was like, fuck it, I'll do it. I work 2 hours a week, and I can hit as many balls as I want. I'm like, I'll do this. And then I filled out a job application for this job. It's like $16 a week or whatever it was. And then they call me, they're like, yeah, okay. And then I was like, I can't do this. I have zero time for this. I'll just spend $5 on a bucket of balls. It's not that big a deal, you know? But I, you know, I was almost in your field of work there
almost,
for a bit.
Almost went to Rutgers.
Yeah. I just, bro, I got so hooked on golf.
It's addicting.
Oh my
God. Your first, like, the first time you really have, like, just a decent round where you kind of, like, surprise yourself, after that, you're like, I have to go back tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's, I think it's, like, one of the most addicting things, 100%.
When you just, you hit
especially
that ball
with your buddies.
It's like when you're in the batting cage and you just, you square the ball up
you
perfectly.
Don't
you don't even feel it, dude. Yeah. It feels like air.
Yeah. 100%.
I'm absolute trash at golf. Absolute trash.
That's all right. I'm sure you're not.
No, I am. But my buddy Liam is a golf pro, and so he was teaching me, and then so I told Luke about it, and so Luke hired him. So Luke, we have this golf pro that comes out with us, and this sets up like a computer thing that you hit on, and it tells you how you do. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Simulator.
Yeah, so we'll play a show, then we'll drink a bunch of beer and just go hit balls back there. It's awesome. It's so much fun, dude.
Dude, $8 an hour is hard. I remember I had a lifeguarding job that was like $7.50. Our in our hometown, I think our what's that thing that that you have to start out? It's like the lowest thing you start
minimum
out on.
Minimum
yeah, minimum wage. It was like $7.25.
Yeah.
Right. I think I got paid $8 to be a lifeguard, and that was freaking terrible. Didn't feel like it had made no money.
Yeah.
And just sit out there and sweat. And then my second, I was just worked on a farm and stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. So like it was just, you know, $50, you know, just straight like cash or
yeah,
you know,
you have to claim it.
Fence post and all that stuff. You know, it was just easy. But my second job, I was like hourly, was I was a lineman for our telephone company, and that was $9 an hour, and that was some of the most like exhausting, just like bullshit work for $9 an hour, like just being somebody's, I don't want to use that word, but but that dude, $9 an hour, you work 2 weeks and you make like $400, and you worked your ass off the whole entire time. You're like, I don't ever want to come back here.
Plus gas and buying lunch and food and
stuff.
Yeah,
dude.
Yeah, you could spend
almost that. Breaking even.
Yeah. Just miserable. Something to do so you're not spending all money.
Yeah, miserable.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I worked in restaurants. It was like, made pretty good money.
AC.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't miss those days. Well, just keep writing hit songs. Put them, cool. Get that keep mailbox money, you know?
Yeah. Well, and performing too, man. It's
dude,
always great
I know. How big is merch? Everybody always tell, like, I don't have like a lot of merch. That's something I want to do in 2025. Like, merch is everything.
I can help you with that.
Yeah. Bro, I gotta do some merch work.
Yeah. You can do merch online where you don't have to touch any of it, buddy.
Dude, that's why. I need like a vendor that can just handle it all and. Mm. Literally, just we have our boxes and just take it wherever.
Yeah.
That's what I really need.
That's like where artists make their money. It's like selling
that's
t-shirts.
What I've been told.
If you're on the road and you don't have merch, you're fucking up.
Dude, I've just always had like one or two shirts.
Yeah.
You know, like, and
well, you
that's
gotta
fine.
Think about it. How often do you wear a t-shirt of each t-shirt?
A t-shirt?
Like, if you have your favorite t-shirt.
This is the comprehension thing I'm talking about.
If you have a favorite t-shirt, how often do you wear it?
Oh. Pretty often,
maybe every fourth day.
Yeah,
tops.
If you have a favorite hat, you're wearing that motherfucker every day.
Yeah, all the time.
So you gotta have hats.
Yeah, definitely, you know, have to have hats.
And you have to have a hat that when you have it, you're like, this would be my favorite hat if I wasn't.
Yeah,
me.
No doubt.
You know what I mean?
I feel like you gotta have that. I feel like you gotta have something for chicks.
Yes. Yeah, we're
not like the cowboy pillows, but like, you know, something that's kind of like,
yeah,
like that, you know, and then.
Koozies are easy.
Koozies are nice.
Koozies are an easy way for someone to say, hey, I dig your shit. I don't have a lot of money, but here's $5.
Yeah. That's,
you know what I'm saying?
That's really
they're
smart.
Really like, because you're spending 50 cents on a koozie and they're giving you $5. That's like, hey, I 100%. Like this. Here's
that's
a little
smart.
Bit of money. You know what I mean? It's like buying you a drink without buying you a drink.
I got to do merch big time this year.
Yeah. I'm happy. Call me.
Dude.
We'll grab lunch. I got you.
Thanks, dog.
Yeah. And we know lots of great companies in town that do that shit, too. If
perfect.
You want it, if you want someone to handle
y'all's
it.
Y'all's merch is dope.
Well, we try.
I have a raised rowdy something on at least two or three times a week.
We appreciate
for sure.
that.
100%.
Yeah. Same, actually.
Yeah. Well, man, it's like, I remember just making the first batches and like basically giving them to our friends, you know? It's
yeah.
like, hey, if you pay the $9 this hat cost, I'll give it to you, you know? And then just our crew wearing it. And then, man, I'm trying to level that up too. I talked to Matt about this. I was like, I want when you get a hoodie, this from Rage Rowdy, for it to be like, if a girl stole it, you're pissed.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, I want that. I want it to be.
Dude, I would be too.
I know. See?
For sure.
And I want, like, I want it to be, I call it heirloom quality, where you're like, yo, I want to give this hoodie to, like, my kid, you know?
Yeah,
and
no like, doubt.
All right, this was my favorite hoodie growing up, and it's still put together.
No so doubt.
I'm trying to get quality up on ours in that. And, dude, like, when we were in Vegas, I was, like, taking Matt around, like, showing him all these fancy stores, and I'm like, look at the colors they're using. I'm like, my brain's in it, you know? But I've been doing it for fucking 7 or 8 years
How
now.
Crazy is it? Walking around seeing somebody with your shit on.
Oh, brother. The first,
I feel like it's got to be like hearing like somebody sing your song back to you, right?
It's nuts.
It's got to be like that type of feeling.
The first time someone sent me a picture of someone I didn't know wearing a Rage Rowdy hat.
That's freaking cool.
It was. I was like, I don't know that person. And then I was like, oh, there's people that buy our stuff that I don't know. So like, this makes sense.
That's freaking
cool. I've just
cool.
never seen them.
Dude, that's...
And in Nashville now, it's just like we're a staple, which is 100% sick.
Like I said, bro, if I spend a day ever out in Nashville, I'm going to see a Rage Rowdy hat.
Crazy.
A Rage Rowdy something.
And, bro, that's all on the backs of organic reach. And by that, I mean, like, we don't do online ads, which we should. We just don't have the money to do it. You know what I mean?
Dude, like, just you're doing it right. Then.
Yeah.
You're like, doing it right.
I know all my buddies that have brands and are spending a bunch of money, like, getting ads out. So that's the thing. Like, in Nashville, people know who we are. But now we got to figure out how to take that everywhere. And we do a lot of the festivals and stuff to get that
done. Yeah. That's what I was going
to
say.
But we need to use the robots or the internet to...
Don't look at me, dude. I don't know.
Yeah.
I just play guitar.
Yeah. Got to use the robots or the internet to, like, figure that out. Cause
that's smart. ChatGPT.
Dude, it's crazy.
It's the pretty wild.
Nuts.
What about, like... You can buy like a Tesla. Yeah.
Kurt's,
this is Dungeon of the Dragons talk right here.
Yeah.
Kurt's enough around me enough that he knows I talk about AI too much.
What about
not being
able to buy a Tesla robot for $20,000?
Yeah.
Like
What would it do?
Cook your food.
Like any
clean your
assign
house.
Task. Like
bro, I would have one right now, dude.
You can.
Really?
Yeah, dude. It's nuts.
Dude, I saw
might be $40,000 now, but
I keep on seeing shit pop up on Instagram, and it's saying, like, women will have more sex with robots in 2025 than they will with men.
They already are, like, dude. It's called vibrators.
Oh, my God.
It's been happening since, like, the olden days.
Yeah, dude.
Holy shit.
Yeah, I mean, like, you see these, like, archaeological digs pull up, like, phallic-shaped stones and stuff. It's like...
I've been seeing that. Yeah. They look like they're like straight brass.
Yeah.
like
they're rocks.
It's painful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, dude, like that's like the problem is relationships are hard. Whether it's friendships with girls, your family,
no doubt.
Everything takes time. If you took all of that out of it where you don't have to take any time to build it, it's going to make shit fucking weird.
Yeah. No doubt.
You know?
Dude, imagine you wake up in the middle of the night and you look in the corner and there's just like this like robot standing there watching you sleep.
Dude, yeah.
Not into that at all.
Dude, yeah. I got to plug it into like a different room for sure. It definitely can't be in the room where I'm sleeping.
It like
snoozing.
Has a doghouse out in the yard.
Yeah, it's wild. I mean, what I talk about and I talk to everyone that will listen about this, I said, listen, we've seen the internet come. We've seen cell phones really come.
That it's so scary.
This AI thing is 1,000 times bigger than any of that.
Oh, yeah, dude.
It's bigger than
that. Like, I remember growing up, whatever, and, like, seeing my, like, sister, like, type on Google, like, for the first time, and how, like, crazy that was. Like, that's what I think AI is, but, like, times 1,000.
Yeah.
Stupid scary.
That's crazy right now is they're using AI to train the next AI.
Oh,
and that's why it's like going so fast, because previously it's like you have all these brilliant minds that are working on technology,
yeah,
but they can only do so much things in their day, right? So now you have these things
24-hour cycle
computing way faster than our stuff's computing, and then we're just basically having to check it. you know?
Oh, my gosh.
And robots don't have ADD.
Yeah.
Or ADHD or whatever.
That no. definitely helps. Or comprehension problems.
Yeah. Yeah, it's nuts.
They don't take breaks to go play golf.
No.
Or smoke weed.
Dude, that yeah. is so scary.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, I feel like we're just completely screwing ourselves right now.
Well,
I feel like it's just going to, like...
Culture is always changing.
Yeah.
Right? And, I mean, think about it, dude. Like, in the grand scheme of things, how did we get to be the dominant species? By having a brain that could comprehend things, right? We're building an item that has Damn. Higher comprehensive powers than we
I have. Don't want them to be smarter than us, bro. Like, that is terrifying. Yeah, yeah they already are, for sure.
Well, if you I'm think
not
about
even
it.
That smart.
Yeah. When they talk about, I think it was Neil deGrasse Tyson, I saw a video of him talking, and he was like talking about why he doesn't do psychedelics. He's like, if you think about the history of the world, we just got to the point where we have comprehension and where we're like the dominant thing.
Mm-hmm.
Why would I want to change the chemistry of my brain when it just got to where it's
supposed
at?
To be, yeah.
Yeah. And he's like, I think I'm pretty smart. And like, you know,
yeah, no
so he's
shit.
Like, why would I want to change the comprehension of my brain when we just got to where I could like figure yeah, stuff right? out? And I'm like, damn, it's yeah. kind of smart. But our brain grew in a way where we got to figure out what things were at a different level than other things.
Yeah, it's so spooky.
It's wild.
You get to make art. And yeah. write songs.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and that's the thing that I think will be the last thing to really go. Because art is...
It comes from the heart.
And live shows are about more than even just the songs.
Yeah.
It's about shutting that room up.
Yeah.
It's about the way that you, after playing 250 shows, know how to bring a crowd down and then bring it back up.
100%.
You know, it's about all of those things. I think that will stay forever. You know, the human thing that makes us the best in my mind is expression, right? And art is one of the best forms of expression. That's why it's been lauded as long as there's been recorded data. You know, people that are great artists have been extremely important throughout the history of time.
Not sponsored.
Yeah.
But we can't be.
Mac gets those Zimos.
I don't, do you know them? This is my first Zen can I've ever bought.
Really?
In my life.
Well, you're doing good then.
Connor McCutcheon, screw you. You got me onto this. Duck hunting.
I dated a girl that did you those for a while, and I was like, this is weird. No.
Fuck no, dude.
Are you sure? Whoa, that was aggressive.
We're cigar guys.
Come on. Okay, fair enough. Classy.
Yeah.
Classy dude. Men.
I don't know about that. Yeah. We're like degenerate cigar guys, kind of, but.
I don't know.
No,
dude, you could definitely tell if somebody knows how to smoke a cigar or not.
Mm-hmm.
100%. I feel like, you know, yeah, like there's definitely a technique.
Yeah,
like,
you know. Figure it out quick.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
The thing about cigars is it's kind of the same thing where it's like it's a good reason to sit down with your buddies and have an hour conversation yeah. that you probably wouldn't have had otherwise.
Yeah,
you know,
you kind of feel like I'm mature, like, you know, you feel like you're really doing something here.
Yeah,
I
well,
feel like
it just calms
like it's a classy
down.
Thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think that's why I do it.
Oh.
Yeah.
But it's a classic. I don't know. It's like at a wedding or something. It's nice.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I hear that.
Yeah.
I wish we could smoke in this room.
Yeah, maybe one year.
We'd take the...
We need a good fan.
Yeah.
We'd be hotboxing this mofo.
Yeah, no doubt.
That's not how you want to do it.
Next time.
Yeah.
Next
yeah.
Raise Rowdy podcast.
Yeah.
Next studio.
Yep.
Be like that. Elon on Rogan smoking weed
with the weed.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. If we could smoke in here, all the guests would smoke pot.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be a whole different podcast. Yeah.
I would have to agree with that.
Yeah.
We would never talk about music.
Yeah.
I don't think we even talked about music on this podcast, yeah. but close
we
enough.
We did a little.
Yeah. But appreciate you coming on, man, and getting to hang with us.
Thanks
and
for having
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
Thank you so
it's
much.
It's been the best time.
It's always a good time getting to chat, and we haven't like gotten to like really like sit down. So it's been good to get
yeah.
to know
this
you
is the best. Yeah. Raise your hand, you guys are pretty dope.
We think
you guys are pretty dope.
We think you're dope too, brother.
Thanks, dog.
Appreciate you.
Appreciate it.
All right. Well, I'm Nick D.
I'm Kurt Ozon, and we'll see you on the front row.